was I think God somehow blessed in the area of I never have dated very much. I told you yesterday I think I dated three times, or this morning one or the other. But I never dated a lot of different gals. I wouldn't date Jane Wednesday night and Sue Thursday and, you know, and Peggy Friday and Sissy on Sunday or something. You know. I went with a gal in high school. I only went with two gals the whole time I was in high school. I went with both of them for about a year and a half. And when I went to school, I went with Peggy for a year, and then I went for Sue for over a year, and then I transferred. So there's only about four gals that I ever really dated, and every one of them I feel would have made a terrific wife. I mean, they were just... I became a Christian in my junior year, and that changed my dating standards quite a bit. But every gal that I went with was just a terrific gal. And I think that this gal, Peggy, was the same way. She was a terrific gal. But I don't think her heart was evil, or she wasn't trying to trick me, or I think it's just the fact that, you know, like guys and gals, they like to be together. And so here's one more thing that she could do just to get 5 minutes as we walk back and forth to class. It's just one little trick that she could pull that, you know, that we could get some more time together. And I don't think her heart was evil in it at all. Now, as far as not whether or not that's right, well, then I think it depends on the guy's motive. Now, this is really a... Let me give you a little background. I went to Texas A&M. That's all male. I joined the Marine Corps. That might as well be all male. The women in there are pretty good men. And now I work at the Air Force Academy, which is all male. So I've had this vast experience of being on a co-ed campus. Now in June we are being transferred to some campus in Southern Cal. And so I never have really been in a situation where there's guys and gals around all the time. I mean, they were just all together always. But I've been in homes and things where there were guys and gals living in the home. And it's just a thing where all I can say is just there are certain standards that a guy gets for his life from God. They're just certain standards. And God wants me to be holy. I know that. God wants me to be pure. But God's going to provide me a wife. Now, for me to be holy and pure does not mean for me to become something that I'm not myself. That doesn't mean that the girls walk in the room and I go, you know, they walk by and I see Mary coming and I cross the sidewalk, you know, because I don't want to, you know, pure. That's not real. That's not what I mean. See, that's unreal. That's not right. See, that you're becoming legalistic, pharisaical. And you know, God says, I'm going to be holy. So, and you walk in the BSU and the girls are there and you walk in and Mary says, hi, Joe. And you know, holy. No time for Mary. See, that's not real. That's not realistic at all. But what I am talking about is getting involved with something that satisfies the flesh and something that you want to do because it satisfies a sin desire that you have. And that's what I'm trying to make a distinction between. Not a normal fellowship. Not a God-given relationship with brothers and sisters. Christian brothers and sisters. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the other thing. The other side of the other field. The other ballpark. Where it's something that you're doing. It's to satisfy something with your flesh. Okay?
You mentioned another relationship. I think the girl involved. Karen.
Yeah, that's my cousin.
Divorced.
Yeah.
And, you went into quite some detail as far as the fact that the company was compatible
right.
In terms of likes or dislikes and things like this. Knowing probably the details of the relationship, I think you do, I'm just wondering now, evidently you said it appears to be or was not God's will for them to be married in the first place. My question is, I think you mentioned sort of a general statement to the effect that, well, you know, they didn't really go about this the right way. I'm just wondering, in their case, this is compatibility, certainly an aspect of God's will, likes and dislikes. Where, in their particular case, did they go wrong?
Well, there's two things I'd like to mention. One of them is that I don't know the guy that personally. I spent quite a bit of time with him, you know, over Christmas or Thanksgiving when he'd be home or something. But I never spent that much time with Bill personally, and I'm not sure Bill's a Christian. He is a good fella. He's got high moral standards. He never has been involved in, you know, drugs, drink, gals, you name it. He's got high moral standards. But I'm not sure that Bill's a Christian. Now, I know Karen is because I've known her all my life, and I know her relationship there. But the mistake that I believe that Karen made, and I can't blame this on Bill, because I can't say that Bill's a Christian, but Karen, I know that Karen didn't make this a matter of prayer. Now, Lord, here's the guy that I have an interest in. Lord, I feel my heart drawn to this guy. And she did not make it a matter of prayer, because I don't think a gal who is making it a matter of prayer, I think I can say this as a positive statement without exception, that a gal who is seeking the will of God will be led astray from the will of God. But I think that's what happened. Now, as far as their compatibility, see, this is, you know, you've heard the old statement, opposite attracts. Well, Karen is really, she's really wild. I mean, she's a fun lover, laughs all the time. She jokes. She's a ribber, you know, more. She's the kind that a lot of people like to be around. She's just fun. Well, Bill is the other way. He's very quiet and reserved, and he doesn't say much. Well, what Bill found in Karen was a kind of a source or an outlet for this. He never said anything. He never fellowshiped with anybody. He just kind of went in the room, sat down, and watched television or opened a book and read. See? And Karen was life of the party. You know, she was everybody liked Karen. Well, so Bill found in Karen, you know, a fulfillment in an area, a like in his own life he found in her life. And Karen found in Bill, you know, here's a quiet, solid guy. And she was kind of wild and bouncing around, you know, an unstable kind of, you know, so she found in Bill a stability. And so they got married. But after about a year or so of marriage, that Bill kind of got tired of this wild, bubbly thing. You know, why don't you sit down and read Reader's Digest or something? I mean, you know. But it just got to him. He couldn't take it. And Karen says, man, good night. Let's go over to Joe and Jane's and let's have some, watch television, pop some popcorn and have some fun and talk and play canasta or something. And old Bill would say, not tonight. And this went on for a month, 2 months, and a couple of years. Well, after a couple of years, man, it was just like that all the time. She wanted to do this, he wanted to do this, and we just, like that. At each other's throat. And it just didn't work out. So there seemed to be a compatibility there, and it was in many cases. But this whole thing is about opposites attracting. In this case, boy, it was fatal. And I think, but the basic mistake was in the fact that I'm not sure that he was a Christian walking with the Lord, and I don't think she sought the will of God in.
One more question. Someone else, you mentioned with respect to your dating patterns before you were married, and the fact that you didn't date different girls at one time, two or three different girls a week. And I'm inclined towards your type of reasoning is simply a feeling on my part. But is this something that you recommend to all fellows? In other words, given the girl is a Christian, what are you thinking
about
this casual dating?
Well, I became a Christian a junior in high school, and when I transferred to A&M, I was a junior in college about 4 years later. Now, during this time when I was a Christian, and I dated only Christian girls, and I dated the same gal regularly, whether it was once a week, it wasn't a mixture of girls. But the thing that I'm trying to get across to you now is that I think I shared with you the other day that I was a Christian for 4 years and I was miserable. And I was holding on to the world with this end. And see, man, I'd take old Sue home at night, and for 30 minutes out in front of the house, man, it would be the, you know, lip smacking good. It was just the total, you know, kissing and hugging tricks. And we never got filthy stuff. I'm not talking about that. But for about 30, 40 minutes, you know, there'd be the old kiss, hug, smooch, you know, so forth, and into the house, and I'd be old see you later. I'm not contrasting the guy who's in sin. He's divorced, he's despair, he's depressed, he's totally out of it, he's lost, he's had it, with the guy who's over here as a real disciple of God, producing and winning men to Christ and being productive in his Christian life. I'm not contrasting the poles. That's a pole. One guy's at one pole, this other guy's at the other pole as far as the Christian life is concerned. I'm not contrasting that. I'm contrasting the guy who's really producing from God from the guy who's sitting in the pew every Sunday and has his wife and his kids, and they go to church every Sunday, and they're there, and the guy's been there for 30 years, and if nothing happens, he'll be there for the next 30 years, and he's never led this first guy to Christ. That's what I'm contrasting. I'm contrasting the nominal Christian life with a nominal family, with a nominal picket fence home down the corner, with the guy who's producing for God. That's what I'm contesting. And that's the distinction that I'm trying to make, see. And man, you can make it. Man, thousands do every day. You can make it. Thousands don't, but thousands do. You can make it every day. You can date. You can go to the BSU and find a sweet young thing, get married, go out and have a career, retire, die, and be buried, and lead a normal Christian life. You can make it. No sweat. You might even have a home Bible study. You might even be a deacon. You might teach Sunday school class. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a guy who produces for God. You know Dawson Trotman? Let me give you a story. Dawson Trotman went to Wycliffe. He went to this board, and these 29 missionaries were going overseas. And they were candidates. They were going overseas, and they'd already been through the schools and everything, and they were going overseas. And so there's 29 of them, and Dawson Trotman was on the board that interviewed them to see whether or not they were qualified and ready to go. Because, the next step was hit the boat and go. And so Dawson, he said, I ask him a lot of questions, but I never let him get by without these two. I always ask him two questions, and never, a lot of questions, but never let him get by without these two. And the first one was, how's your devotional life? How's your time with God? How's your walk with God? How's your devotional life? How's your quiet time? And so he asked the guy, how's your devotional life? And he said, well, we've been in this school and it's linguistics and we've really been hitting it. And the last couple of months, we just hadn't had any time. Oh, I say, well, how about when you were in college? Well, studies were in college and then there was the visitation that we did through the We Want to Save Them group or whatever it was. And then there was this how about when you were in high school? And he talked to him and he backed everyone of them back down. And he found out there was one guy in all the 29 whose devotional life was what it ought to be. And the guy confessed. He said, my devotional life is... One guy said, my devotional life is what it ought to be. One out of 29. So then he asked him the second question. He said, let me ask you. When you go overseas, your objective is going to be to lead men to Christ, right? Right. You don't want to... You don't want just to lead men to Christ and then see them flame out or go back to their old way of life, do you? No, no. I mean, you want to see them grow and mature in Christ, right? Right. And you want to see them to become disciples and maybe even win other people to Christ, right? Right. I mean, you don't want to just go over and win them to Christ and forget them, right? Right. He said, well, let me ask you this. He said, how many people can you name, by name, call their names right now, who are living for Jesus Christ today because of your life? You led them to Christ and they've grown and matured, living victoriously for Christ because of you. How many can you name? And not a single solitary one of the 29 can name one guy. And they were all missionary candidates. Oh, yeah. They invited a lot of people to church. And this guy said, yeah, I invited people to church almost every Sunday. And this guy said, I used to take them to the dinner. I used to work in the vacation Bible school. I used to... But not a single solitary disciple is around today because of that guy's life. And every one of them was willing to admit that he was willing to leave the United States and go over into a culture that was foreign to him, would eat food that was foreign to him, people that were suspicious of him, people that didn't like him, people that didn't want him, and try to do something with that type of situation, with those type of people, in that type of environment, that he admitted he hadn't done back here where he was accepted. And gang, that's what I'm talking about. That is what I'm not talking about, living a Christian life. I am talking about producing for God. And I'll admit, boy, the Bible says many are called and few are chosen. Up here we say many are cold, but few are frozen, but, the Bible says that. So, I'd be a foolish. I'd be foolish to think that everybody in this room is going to go out and quit digging. I mean, that's just not going to happen. But for the guy who wants to count for God, there needs to be a period of time in his life where there's a drought. Really. See, you name some people in the Bible. How about Moses? Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness. How about Paul? Paul went out for 3 years, and as far as we know, there was no contact with him for over 3 years. Jesus didn't even start until he was 30. What do you think he was doing when he was 21 and 30? The way he quoted scriptures, I bet he was in this book, and I bet he was spending time in prayer. We don't know what happened to him during that period. We hear about him when he was 12, and we hear about him when he's 30. And that's all. But I'm not, I'm just saying, man, that if you're really serious about counting for God, you need to get to know him. See, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of men. That's Psalms 107, what, Max? He made known, 107:14? That sounds good, we'll take it. 107:14. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of men. See, the children of Israel knew what God did. They saw, man, the Red Sea went, and they saw that. And he hit the rock, and the water came out, and they saw that. And he threw the tree into the lake, and the water turned sweet, and they saw that. The people of Israel saw his acts, but he made known his ways unto Moses. Moses knew God. The people knew his acts. And see, that's what I'm talking about. There's a lot of people around who know about the acts of Jesus, but there's very few people who know him, who walk with him and know him. See, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, give us some more questions. Yes.
I've got a stone to throw. I hope you can catch it.
In the temple.
Do you have five suggestions that the Christians, a Christian couple can do as a date?
Suggestions?
Yeah, suggestions for a date.
Well, Max, you want to give me some help?
Go ahead.
Repeat the question. I think the question was, can we name some suggestions that a Christian couple can do on a date? Right?
For a date, yeah.
Okay, why don't you guys name some? Okay?
You gonna see a Walt Disney movie?
You guys can call it a college Christian.
Well, I think we do.
I go see Walt Disney movie.
Go see the Planet Out.
Okay, here's a suggestion. Say that again.
Plan it out, know what you're going to do.
Okay, plan it out, know what you're going to do.
Double date.
No, wait a minute. I'm saying as a date, not on a date, but as a date. There's a difference. I mean, not what you're doing on a date. You know, you might be talking about God and Christ and everything. That's good. But I mean, as a date. What you going to do that night? You know, you're going to go see a movie, you're going to go dancing, or
watch sports,
smoke pot, or what?
Drop a little acid. Okay, you guys help me out on this one. This guy, he's not talking about, he wants to know, okay, you go and you pick up the girl at the front door, you go out, you get in the car. What from there, right?
Yeah.
What do you do from there?
I got it.
Okay, well, this guy here.
A skating or bowling.
That's for athletic girls.
Where's Jerry
gone?
Okay, you have a suggestion?
Yeah, something that, usually if you have a date, you just, you want to be with the girl. And I wouldn't suggest doing this all the time because I don't think it'd be good. But if you really want to find out where her heart is, try studying the Bible on a date to see if her objectives are where yours are. And boy, if that's a drag to her, to me that kind of sends up a red flag already.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
That's good.
See, I had a guy, Ed Powell. Ed Powell was a secretary at the academy. And boy, I tell you, this guy, Ed, is a disciple. He graduated last year. He's down at, in fact, he's down at Texas A&M now. He's down there getting his master's degree in whatever weathermen are called. Meteorologist. He's going to be an Airedale weatherman. So he's down there. But this guy was really a producer. And he had this guy named Wendy that... really. Yeah, it was windy. Oh, sweet. God's really humorous. Yeah, he had this gal named Wendy down at Florida State, and she was in touch with Bob Potter and Ab. Rap was growing, and here's her, what's his name? Brent. You know her? Know the family? Wendy, what her name was? Yeah, that's him. Well, so she's growing. Well, so after about a year or two after he graduated in 68, and he got married about a year and a half later, and they'd been going together for years and years, and they got married, and let's see, now I've lost track of what we're talking about, can't even remember before.
Ed and Wendy.
I know
studying the Bible.
Ah, studying the Bible, right. Well, see, Wendy came up here one summer and lived with Robert, see these guys, they have these gals. And boy, as far as they can discern the will of God, she's a terrific gal, and God seems to be leading. And so what they do, they say, now, why don't you come up here this summer and spend some time with the guy here near it? And so they came up. Holly came out from Virginia, and Wendy came up from Florida. And so they lived in a home with Robbie. And so Robbie could observe their life and help them. And, so we got to know the gal pretty well. Well, during that summer, see, Ed was out here at the academy, and he was in the T-41 program, which means he's flying these Cessna 172s or whatever they are, souped-up Cessnas. And he was flying these things around, but boy, that's taking a lot of his time, but about every other night he was free. And you know what, he would come down, and he'd grab Wendy, and Rock would come down with him, and then sometimes, and he'd grab Holly, and you know where they'd go? I mean, they haven't seen each other all year. They'd come down and, grab the dates and go roaring out, just having a blast. And they'd go down here to the Colorado College Library and they'd study the Bible for about 3 hours. About 3 hours in the Bible. And they had an objective to spend 6 hours of Bible study in every chapter, and they covered 2 chapters a week. They were studying the Bible with their dates for 12 hours a week. Man, you can scope one out pretty quick like that. But they hadn't seen them all year.
I mean, you know, the academy starts in August. They start in school here August the 14th is when the academy starts, and they graduate the first week in June. I mean, they don't half step. They really go to school a lot. So the gals, you know, you don't see them much, but that's what they did. So that's not a bad test, but they ate that up. They really liked it. Ed and Wendy are married now. They're down at Texas A&M. Yes. Oh, wait. Do we have enough answers for you yet?
That's one suggestion.
Okay. Let's get a couple more suggestions for this guy concerning his you know, something else you can do. Yes.
I mean, I think one thing that's real good before the date, you know, not, you know, this is kind of like before you pick her up, is to pray about it. Pray about, you know, that you know, everything would really go good that night, whatever it is you decided to do, and pray about it, you know.
Okay. Next,
I do some ministering together. If you're having a ministry, and she's having a ministry, and if she isn't having a ministry, you probably shouldn't be with her anyway over a period of time. If you're having a ministry and she's having a ministry, there are times in which you can minister together. I mean, you can go take a couple with you, like if you're going to a movie. Take a Christian couple with you and have a chance, you know, afterwards. Go out and get something to drink and share and talk with them. There are times in which you can listen to tapes together. You can go to the mission center together. There are things like this. And I do think at times you ought to stagger out to eat. You ought to go out to a movie.
How about the dance?
I wouldn't. For the same reason he's talking about it. But that's up to you. I don't, you know, I'm not real sure this is real honoring to God. If you, you know, if you feel peace about it, you get down on your knees and pray about it, and God says, Jack, boy, my burden for you Saturday night is to take her to the dance. Take her to the dance. But you better be sure that, you know, God.
Okay,
now, I'm sitting here and I was trying to figure out something that I could suggest, and it seems that it's surrounding us right now, and that you could go right out into God, and that's being nature. And like, you could go out to a lake, and I've done this before, just bring out a pallet and sit there on the lake shore and just look and watch the things that are happening. And you can bring up the Bible and talk, and you can really have fun. You can walk along the shore, and you can enjoy nature and God and each other. And you can't, I can't really see how, I'm going to kind of contradict James here, how I can say, hey, what you doing tonight? Let's go study the Bible as a complete date. And she says, no, that's automatically the red flag. I don't believe so, because I feel like I would be deserting her to a certain extent. That if I said, just because you don't necessarily go along with what I say, then therefore we are made or compatible together. And I think that in order to have a better relationship with her and with my fellow man, we have to work together. And if you can go out into nature, and if you're a nature bug like me, and right now here's a good example, you know, just grab a girl and go out now. And yeah, they're just
Let me give you guys, when I spend quite a bit of time with the cadets, and these guys are, they're the cream of the crop. I mean, you have to get selected to get into the place. And a lot of the guys out there, probably over half of the guys, were either a class president or president of their student body, and over half of them were either valedictorian or straight-A students in high school. I mean, they're kind of a tough breed of cat. But they can think. I mean, you know, they got brain. They got something up here in the gourd. They got a brain housing group, and they can think, see? And so I always talk. I got four questions for you. I want to ask you four questions, and you got to answer these questions, you know, before you really know what you're doing. So one question is this: what's your objective in life? There's one thing that you'll punt before you'll punt this one. You'll give up everything, but there's one thing that's primary. What is that objective? I want to know what is your one objective in life. And the second question is this: what type of training or education or help do you need to get in order to become the type of man that can fulfill that objective? If a guy wants to be a doctor, if his objective is to become a doctor, then he's got to have med school and intern and all this kind of thing. See, there are certain things that he's going to have in order to reach that objective, to become the type of man who can reach that objective. His objective is to be a minister with the Baptist Church. He's probably going to go to seminary. There are certain things that a guy needs to get before he can fulfill that objective. But he needs to become a certain breed of cat, or a certain type of man, before he can fulfill that objective. Okay, now the third question to ask him is, when, where, and through whom are you going to get it? Okay, what's your objective? what training or help or education you need in order to reach that objective, when, where, and through whom are you going to get it? And the fourth question, I think, probably is one of the most important, and that is, what price are you willing to pay to get it? See, some guys want to be a doctor. But if everybody became a doctor who wanted to be a doctor, they'd have to lower the educational requirements quite a bit, because some guys are just not willing to pay that price to hit those books like that. I mean, guys just not willing to pay the price. Some guy wants to be a, you know, you take this gal, Peggy Fleming, who was a giant figure skating champion. I mean, Peggy Fleming lives right over here, see, just across the road in Colorado Springs here. She lives just down this way over by Broadmoor. And she was the world champion. And man, everywhere she went, she just dazzled them, man. She could just whirl around and do all kind of tricks. But see, the thing that most of them didn't know is that Peggy Fleming got up at 6 o'clock and went over to Broadmoor and practiced for 2 hours before she ever went to school that morning. And she got off of school and she didn't have a day to ride around and go cheerlead or anything. She went back, slipped her skates on, and skated for 4 hours that afternoon, and then went home and had jobs. And people didn't know that she did that 6 days a week. That's when she was in high school. And she was skating when she was in grade school. But see, gang, if you've got an objective in mind, you got to realize that there's a price to every one of them. And just face, you know, face up. You got to be, if you want to be a giant combat hero, you better be willing to pay the price of death. Just one of the prices. You see that? But you need to answer those four questions. What is my objective in life? What kind of man am I going to have to become? When, where, and through whom am I going to get that type of training? And the fourth thing is, what price am I willing to pay? Just, that'll help you orient your life. And that'll help you answer a lot of questions. It really will. Question here?
Yeah.
There's another, you had a question a while ago, didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't hear your
I'm sorry?
I didn't hear all your talk. You mentioned that something about a drought. You said that there's no advantage that really affected your life.
Well, that seems to be a period in the godly men that I've read about or studied, or, and I'm not talking about in the Bible, but also guys like Hudson Taylor and these people. And by a drought, I'm glad you brought that up. A drought period is something that when I feel like a guy prunes most everything else away from his life. He just cuts it. And see, like, I have several hobbies that I used to like to hunt and fish. Man, I just love that. You know, raised in Louisiana, lakes everywhere, you know, the ducks flying, squirrels, quail, everything, you know. Man, I just love that. But the time I was at Texas A&M, I don't think I hunted or fished one or two times for 2 or 3 years I was there. And that wasn't about, I didn't go over there and say, okay, God, I'm giving it up for you. It was just the fact that I was in the book, and I was studying, and I was in a Bible study, and I was witnessing the guys on this night and helping guys and meeting with guys on this night. And I was on the weekend, I'd take these three guys and say, okay, why don't we go do this, and we'd go do that. And we somehow the time was gone. But what happened was basically was that, the hunting and fishing went, and the dating went, and this went, and that went. And there, in a very real sense, there was a drought. I mean, there was just nothing else in my life but just basically getting to know God. And that, and see, I don't think I went, I didn't go from Louisiana College over there to plan that, because if I had known that was what was going to happen, I probably wouldn't have gone. I heard Doug Sparks say one time, he said, Lila Trotman, Dawson Trotman's wife. Dawson's dead now. Lila lives here in the Springs. And Lila said, her daddy asked her one time, he said, Lila, if you knew how hard it was going to be, how hard the Christian life was going to be and the trials that you were going to have to go through when you first became a Christian. No, he said, if you'd known the hardship and what God was going to require of you when you married Dawson Trotman, when you married this guy, Dawson Trotman, would you have married the guy? And she said, Daddy, if I had known the hardship that I was going to go through, I wouldn't have even become a Christian. Because it gets tough. But you don't ever plan it. See, what you do is you set your face like a flint. I want to become your man. And God says, okay, snip, snip, snip. And after a while, you just find yourself without anything that's taking up your time. You're just really becoming a man of God. And I'm not saying studies. Boy, don't kiss off the studies, because you won't be around where you can get the type of training that you need to become a man of God. But does that clarify it any? I think your main thrust is to become the man of God, and I think God does most of the pruning. Like, dating in my life was gone, fishing, hunting was gone. I used to spend a lot of time doing that, and just other things that I used to do a lot of, and it's just gone. And you know, I used to think, you know, I don't watch television much, and it's not by design. It's just that I'm not home that much. Man, we got a 23-inch color television in our house. Isn't that Zorchi? It was given to us. You know, in fact, all the furniture in our home was given to us. The thing hardly works. It's old, but it was, you know, we got this color television set. And so, man, you know, Bonanza and Mission Impossible and, man, you know, whatever else is on. But I just don't ever watch color television much. And the reason is, it's not by design. Boy, God, I'm not going to watch it before you. I don't sit down and do that. It's just that I'm never home. I mean, and when I am home, man, I got to get this Bible study done. Old Joe needs help. I'll see if I can find some verses I can. I just got other things to do. Play with my kids, talk with the wife. See how that happens? Max?
It's kind of an idea of displacement here.
Yeah.
You don't just suddenly, you know, say everything's going to be displaced. I've experienced the same thing about the movies. You know, there's a custom in a little town where I grew up. There was a drive-in theater, and on Saturday night or Friday night, you had
to stay up for something else, man.
And, you know, you just... That is just what you did. You just had a date and went to the movie, and, you know, it didn't make any difference what was showing. But then when I went to Ann Arbor, you know, first Friday night or Saturday night, I'd go to the movie, and then, you know, that is just a custom. I just like to do that. And it wasn't with a girl after I got there, of course, but I would go. And then over a period of time, it just, you know, well, it may be 3 weeks between shows or 2 weeks or something. It's just a matter. There wasn't a time for it. There were other things, not that I sacrificed and said, boy, I'm just not going to do that. But I just thought, well, man, you know, in the morning, I'm going to be meeting with this freshman Sunday school class, and I have a chance to share some things, and I need to study tonight or something like that.
There's that bird dog over at the window.
Just make sure you'll get your card.
You all got the boy-girl relationship right now yet?
We've been waiting on you.
It'll take 12 more years.
Okay, we got... I think there's a lot of girls in this world who would be very good for you. There's a lot of girls that would be excellent for you, but there's only one girl who would be the best. And see, I think, let me tell you something. You know, who knows more about your life, you or God? Okay, God. So if God knows more about your life, then does he know more about what it makes to take you happy or to you? Okay, who knows more about this girl over here that you're interested in, you or God? Okay, if God knows all about your life, then he knows what it takes to kind of, you know, screw in the holes here and fill this in and admit this and, you know, put to make you the happiest. And he knows that this gal over here, although she might appear, doesn't have that. But this one does. And so he picks out the choice jewel because he knows her better than you do and he knows you better than you do. And he brings those together. And I think a lot of times we accept the good when we could be accepting the best. I remember I was a little poem one time. Good, better, best, and never let it rest. Your good becomes better and your better best. And I think we all shoot for the best. How about that? That's pretty fast, right? But we quit, huh?
Okay, this is going to be a challenge for only getting into a quickie. On this, you said during the talk that, you know, don't worry that somebody else will steal the girl if she's only for you.
Uh-huh.
But then you gave a series of examples of people who made mistakes. And, you know, to me, I couldn't see how those were compatible. Like, if God has gotten picked and you're going to come together, but then you were talking about
those
Christians that made mistakes.
Well, Satan, I don't think Satan's dead. And if he can get a guy to go against the will of God, then I think he can foul him up. And in every case that I mentioned, as far as I could see, just from an impartial viewpoint, and I'm serious about that. I didn't even know the people when they got married. But from what I can see right now, and hearing the guy tell the story, then as far as I can tell, the guy was not in the will of God, and there was something wrong, something back there. He didn't seek the will of God, he hadn't prayed about it, or something, or it was a flesh thing, or there was something wrong. But I've never met, see, we've got guys in the mission fields today by the hundreds, but who at Glen Eyrie here, I met some gal, and gone off and said, boy, God, this gal, and years later, like Doug Sparks, he never had a date with Lila. He never had a date with Lila until he sent her a telegram and said, ask her to marry me. Ask her to marry him, or whatever. He never had a date with her. And I think I don't know Max's exact situation here, but I think Max was interested in Chandler years before we ever told her about that.
Walt Hendrickson.
Gene Ward, man, he prayed about Irma for years. And man, you don't see these people breaking up and punting and kissing it off and going their own ways. These people are productive for God. Well, I think every time you see somebody, like my mom and dad, see, my dad's not a Christian. My mom is a Christian. My mom really wants to count for God. She really loves a navigator. She likes to come to Glen Eyrie, and my old man will cuss her and God and everybody else. How'd you like to live in that? That's been going on for 35 years. You've never been cussed at all until you've been cussed by your husband. I mean, and he'd take things and throw them out through all the house and cuss God and cuss her and cuss the Baptists and religion and the navigators. and he's got two kids full time with the navigators, and his wife is heartbroken with him, and he hates them. How'd you like to live in that for 24 hours a day? So, gang, they may be living together, but boy, I think let's back up and let's take a look. And I think somewhere along the line, somebody got all the will of God. Okay.
And one other thing, since you say the scriptures don't specifically kick the physical aspect, except where it says be holy, don't sin. And I can see I'd be wrong to rationalize around that. But also, it seems like it's an individual thing, and you could also rationalize the other way and put in a lot of Baptist middle class standards, saying, well, you shouldn't kiss or something like that. Just because, or dance or something, just because the Baptists have always said it to somebody else, it's not a sin, or it's not keeping them from being holy.
Okay, let me preach on this just about 2 seconds. Time's up. Let me give you a point of a statement here. The generation that confuses the truth gives birth to the generation that loses the truth. The college kids today have no concept at all what's truth. What's truth and what's non-truth. What's real and what's relevant. What's absolute and what's relevant. They have no concept at all. And what has happened is the generation that confused the truth, which was their parents. See, the guy says, let's go to Sunday school, Jimmy. So they go to Sunday school. Then the guy comes back home, watches television, lives like the devil the rest of the week. The guy says, don't you cheat on your quizzes, Jimmy. And he goes and cheats on his income tax. And the guy says, don't you take that nasty old pot, and he's up boozing it up at home. And so the guy says, well, what am I supposed to do? And the guy says, well, you're supposed to be holy, even as I am holy. And then he's living on his thing. He's over there doing something with the secretary of the company. And he says, well, you're not supposed to commit. Don't you go out and neck with those girls. And he's over committing adultery or something with the secretary. And what has happened is that generation, and you know it as well as I do, that those parents have totally confused the truth so that the old Joe Blow goes bumming off to school and thinks, what the fat is happening? What is truth? This Bible means nothing to him because his parents kept it on the shelf and kept it on the head of the bed. It had no effect on their life, so they just kissed the whole thing off. And they have no concept at all what is truth. They have no concept of truth. So let me just ask you guys right now, the man, base your walk with God, base your life on the truth. Find out what is truth and live by that, and not by tradition. Jesus condemned the traditions. You've exchanged the commandments of God for your traditions. Punt the traditions. Find out what is truth. And don't confuse truth with tradition in your walk with God. Don't confuse that. Don't confuse truth with tradition. Absolutes with relatives. Don't confuse them. But boy, before you can do that, you better know this book, because as far as I can see, and I hadn't been around a long time, but I've been around enough to know that this book is truth. Max?
Now, I just want to say this. Fellas, we tried to get this over to you and we came up here. We came up here for serious business. There are enough of us here to make a tremendous impact on a campus from which we came, and we aren't doing it. There are not a dozen men in this room who anybody has ever come to know the Lord as a result of your lives. And you know that's true. There are guys that have had, they've been to the Glen more times than I can count on two hands. And it's had no impact on the campus where they're going. Now, I'm just trying to say something. This afternoon, you're going to have some free time. Let me encourage you to do this. Now, the conclusion you come to, you may decide that before we have the service tonight, we ought to proceed it with a wedding in the great hall for you and your gal. If that's what you decide, that is your business. Just let me know and I'll try to be there for it. But there are others of you that you ought to get aside this afternoon and get some things settled. Brother, he is talking about the thing that I'll guarantee you, half of you in this room 10 years from now, you won't be at the Glen. And you won't be producing disciples, and it will be for this reason. Or I'll miss my guess. Now, you get aside this afternoon and go over your notes, and you pray, and you determine. If Chuck said some things, or if you didn't like what he said about dancing, that's not the issue. Don't get hung up after 2 hours of conversation on one little bitty deal. Fellas, is there any heart in what he's saying? Did anything at all in 2 hours hit you anywhere? Well, if God said anything to you, why don't you decide what God wants you to do and then do it? And I don't know any better time to make a decision on it than it's, than while you're up here. So I'd encourage you. There are a lot of rocks to climb, you know. There are a lot of girls. You know, I've already seen it. Girls that haven't been in a BSU yet, but you see them staggered. This fella, this girl, this fella, this girl. The last thing in the world they need right now is to be in love. And that's the worst thing that can happen to most of you. The worst thing right now is to be in love. You need this drought period he's talking about, in which your sole objective is my walk with God. Now, whatever conclusion you come to, fellas, I can't say. And you know, if I see you with a girl, you don't say, oh, here comes Max. Put your hands in your pocket. No. That's between you and the Lord. It really is. You know, some of you may be together and be in God's choice. But last week, I was at a church in Norman, Oklahoma, talking with an old boy that stood in the aisle and tears came into his eyes. When I talked to him about coming to Glenn, he wanted to come to Glenn as bad as worse than probably anyone here. But he just made one mistake. He married a girl who has no heart for God. And you know where he met her? He met her in the BSU. She was a nice, sweet Baptist Christian. He'll live to be 100 and never produce disciples. Brett Yon used to meet with him personally. And he came in and said, boy, I made a mistake. And he did. He thinks it's the right girl, but it was sure the wrong time. Now, fellas, I would just encourage you to get some time this afternoon. And boy, this sounds hard, but if it's not biblical, kick it out. If it's tradition, forget it. But if it's in the Word of God, you ought to think about it. Because this is going to wipe more of you out than any other one thing. You can count on it. Okay, Jack?
Well, I'd like to speak to the guys here, because I kind of feel what they feel. I think what Chuck said made an awful lot of sense to me. And most everything he said really, really spoke to me. And I think he spoke to all of us. But there's some things in our lives that we contradict on. And I could be wrong, and we all could be wrong, and we want to know the truth. That's what we're here for. So if we're throwing stones, it's because, you know, we want to hit something. If there's nothing to hit, then that's great.
Someone else.
I could say something just for a minute. Of course, most of you don't know me from anybody. I'm Melvin Ernest. I'm a married guy. I don't have a lot in common with Max and Chuck and a lot of these people that have been speaking and are going to be speaking from the standpoint that I have had a job, worked, and have been completely unrelated to Christian activities other than through my church. And I think most of you guys are just like myself in that respect. And maybe we've already gone too far, a lot of us. I know I have, and I know many of you have, to experience the things that Chuck has been talking to you about in this idea of a drought and all that. I don't know, personally, how necessary that is for everybody, but I know that he is correct in saying that this is what the Lord led him to do. The primary objective was to become dedicated to finding the will of God, and he kept saying, well, he didn't have to give up these things. This just happened. Well, I think this is what will happen to us, not necessarily in this fashion. But I'm a married man, been married for 7 or 8 years, been out of school for 4 or 5 years. I know very well what he speaks is the truth. I married a very fine Christian girl. We've always had a good Christian home, but we're here today, we're here this week, to try to find the things that Chuck is telling you you have in store for you if you'll follow his will right now. We met the BSU, been at the BSU, we're married, have kids in church every Sunday. But the primary thing that I must admit we missed was that we didn't really dedicate our lives to Christ early enough to find all this satisfaction that is available. And when you get my age, no older than I am, and I'm not 30 yet, you'll have a lot of things to overcome if you don't put the primary things first today. We've got things right now that we're really trying to overcome. And our lives could be much richer and much fuller if we had made the decision where you stand today, not with any preconceptions of what God would demand of you, but that you will dedicate your life to finding today what God's will is today and for the future too.
Okay. Jack Holt, did you have one word?
I have one thing. My only experience out now, it's kind of like a cloud, you know. Soil always has a tendency to crush over. You can plow and boy, come a little rain, just get crushed. And you go in and this helps serve the crust, you know. And it's in this turmoil that I found I've had my best growth. If, boy, you know, it shakes up the surge of water. You have to agonize with it. And if it just crushed over, you just ride along, and the river breeze over or something. In this turmoil, you'll grow. And if everything is smooth, and you know, it's hard. It's hard to take them, and it's hard to deal with them. Man, it produces things in your life.